it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Show. We are going to be this variation of the show for the next few days, and I say that because Sean Mapes is not here. He will be with Brian. You know Brian from Jeremy and Joe. He'll be with Brian from 12 to 3 because our watch parties continue. Brian and Sean will be out at Tom's Watch Bar, followed by Jeremy and Joe. And then throughout the week, we got Ducky McSweeney's tomorrow, and then By the Wayside on Friday. So it's me and AJ today and tomorrow and Friday as we get you through the week here from 10 to 12. I'm already dreaming of 12 because I got a problem, AJ. So if for people who don't know, we got 3 or 4 days of... It used to be called Prime Day, and it's still called that, but it's like now 3 days. It's pretty much prime half the week at this point. So they're offering deals, and you just pick and choose which one fits you, and you make a purchase. And they got me yesterday. In fact, it was not even them. It was someone else who tweeted about a couple deals you can get. And I was in the market for some earbuds because – and I want the Apple ones. I'm only in the market because my charger – the jack, something happened, so I can't even connect. The charge anymore. So what I could do as a responsible person is just go get a new earbud charger. Instead, I go, you know what? Just let me just get some new earbuds because it's Prime Day or Prime Week, so I'm doing that. And I can't fault Bezos for this. His apparatus is prompt. I was on the road coming into work after ordering them yesterday, and they were already delivered. They got delivered at 6:30 in the morning. And you know how Amazon works. They just throw it at your front door. I'm not in a neighborhood where I worry about something getting stolen, but I believe a couple times ago on a delivery, someone rummaged through to see what was in it, and then they left it because it was something very specific. For like a car or something. I forgot exactly what it was, but it was like, no, it was for a fridge that my dad had in Nigeria. He needed a part. It was very specific, so there was no reason to take it. You can look into the package, think it might be something you want, and then look at it, don't recognize it because it's a motor for a Samsung fridge, and you leave it and go about your business. This, as I just told you, is something they would recognize and may take. So I'm already – now, I don't have a Ring camera, so I just got to wait and see. I got to hope that package stays there unmolested for about 6 hours or so, more actually, six and a half hours or so. So good luck to me. Good luck to you all if you've decided to take advantage of the Prime Days and you got to go to work like a regular person. And hopefully, for most of you, look, you're a regular person if you don't have to go to work. You work from home. You got other responsibilities. Okay, let me clean that up. Avoid offending anyone. But I'm far more focused on whether that package is going to be there and unmolested than anything I'm doing for the next couple hours. So apologies in advance. As far as things you guys might care about, not my new earbuds. We got the Astros winning. Joey Loperfido got it done. He came through. The whole team came through late. It looked like another opportunity to drop further below 500, but they found a way. They put a couple runs across late, and then Joey Loperfido hits the 3-run homer in extra innings. Hader does what he does. He only went to one inning. They had to go. I like to say Logan Van Wey, but I've heard Logan Van Wey as well. And he was called upon, gave up a run in the bottom of the 11th, but because of Loperfido, they were up 9-6 at the time. His 3-run home run broke the game open, and then the Astros survived. So they get the win in Toronto to split the first two games of that series, and they have a chance to go win that one today. So it was a nice comeback, because the worry was they were going to fall to 7 games below, and then the task of getting to 500 just seems impossible, because they're always in this realm of 5 to 8. They remain at 5 with a chance to win the series. Now the bullpen is stretched. They had to pitch a lot of guys yesterday. Peter Lambert, who had been one of their more reliable guys, he didn't give up a lot of runs. He scuffled. He gave up 6 hits. But much like Hunter Brown, he wasn't very efficient in his outing through 92 pitches, didn't get through 5. So they used Okert, De Los Santos, Pearson, Hader, and then Van Wey closed it out. So they're going to need a bit of an effort today to get through this one, and it'll be Mike Burrows, who seemingly always needs bullpen help. He has been bad, but his durability is his best ability. So he'll go out there again. He'll go against Savage, and we'll see how it plays out. Astros trying to claw their way back. The Mariners unfortunately won in a close one against the Pirates, so they didn't gain any ground there, but didn't lose any ground. So and at this point, that's kind of most important. Just stay within contact as they try to climb ever closer and closer to 500. So that happened yesterday. There was a lot of World Cup to get to. Oh, I did want to mention this. Jeremy Peña, we talked about it. Sean and I were worried about the comments that Jeremy Peña made, because he was peppered with questions about his health. He's okay. He pinch hit in the game, so they held him out. Didn't want to start him, but he was available to pinch hit, so he seems to be okay. That hamstring, maybe it was just the cramp. That was the worry, because it was the same hamstring that caused him all the issues earlier in the season, but he seems to be okay, so that's good news. Hunter Brown appears no worse for wear. As I mentioned, his start wasn't great, but he did also get hit with a baseball yesterday. Two days ago now. He seems to be okay, so Astros avoiding injuries and getting a win. So good news there. As I mentioned, we had the World Cup in the city yesterday. Glenn Davis joins Sean and Lance every day, at least Monday through Friday, while the World Cup was going on, and he called the Portugal game. He was in the building as Ronaldo scored a couple goals. I don't keep track of Ronaldo's goal scoring exploits, because those generally they're kind of few and far between in the World Cup. But he did get 2. He apparently is feeding on sheep. Like there are people who show up against the best competition. That has not been the case for him lately. If you just start to look at his recent goal scored in the World Cup, it's either penalties or he's scoring against the likes of Uzbekistan, but they count all the same. Portugal needed a good result after their draw against Cabo Verde. No, DR Congo, excuse me. And they figured it out. They took apart Uzbekistan to get their World Cup back on track. And Glenn Davis was very diplomatic about Ronaldo. There is a bit of a divide. As Glenn said, he is polarizing. They asked him about Messi yesterday, because it has been a thing this World Cup. The stars of this World Cup have been scoring goals, and they were waiting on Ronaldo to join them. He did with his 2, And once he was asked about Messi, he said, there are other guys scored, and Mbappe scored too. He didn't want to talk about Messi. So that rivalry where although the two really don't play into it, it's more of a media creation. Yeah, they probably don't like each other. One played for Barcelona, the other played for Real Madrid, all that stuff. But so there's an inherent reason why they don't like each other. They were rivals for years. The media likes to talk about it. He doesn't want to talk about it. I don't think he wants to play into it. But he got going, and it was a good day in the World Cup. You had the English, which we'll get to, not scoring. So all the bluster and all the praise that the English got from their first outing against Croatia, that all dissipated, where they were fortunate not to lose the game against Ghana. Then you had the later games where Colombia beat DR Congo in Mexico. And then you also had the Croatians beating Panama. So CONCACAF takes an L there with Croatia responding from their loss to England and getting a win there. So that's kind of the wrap up the World Cup. We'll get into some of the interesting things that happened, because one Ghanaian witch doctor, after cursing Harry Kane, has made a decision on whether that curse will remain. We'll talk about that. Harry Kane may have been cursed. If you watch that game, he missed a clear opportunity to give England a late lead. So maybe the curse worked, as the Ghanaians got a tie and they're tied with England on points in that group. We'll talk about the Cougars when we come back, because they had a big day. A couple guys got drafted, and I know something has changed about me, and I'll tell you what I mean when I come back, because normally I enjoy what happens in the green room on draft night, whether it be the NFL or the NBA. Things have changed for me in that regard. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about where Chris Sinak went, where Kingston Fleming went. We'll do all that with a Coug in the booth when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So the Astros win, Logan Van Wy helps get it done. He closed out that game in the bottom of the 11th, the Heroes, Lo Profeta, Hader, Van Wy, late as the Astros get the win. As that closed out, the draft was, well, the NBA draft was going on, and it was a different night for a couple of coups. Kingston Fleming was expected to go in the lottery, and that's where he went. A lot of people had him going eighth to the Hawks. That's where he went. There were several guards in the mix. They all kind of went in the order you thought. Like Mares Johnson snuck in there at 9 for the Mavs. His head coach was his head coach at Michigan. Dusty May got the job with the Mavericks. He selected one of his former players, so you had a big thrown in there. But for the most part, after the top four, which went as expected with the Bansa, Darren Peterson, Boozer, and Caleb Wilson, the guards were going to come off. You had Mikael Brown, you had Acuff. I was a little bit surprised that, now he wasn't going to be a top 10 guy, but Filon went all the way to Philly, but LeBaron Filon went all the way to Philly. But as far as when the draft, when the guards were going to go, they went where they were supposed to, and Kingston Fleming was among them. He goes to a spot where we got CJ McCollum, who's not truly a point guard, but he will play that role for the Hawks because of their setup right now, where you have a backcourt that has Nikhil Alexander-Walker, if you want to call him that, maybe just call him a wing player. You've got Dyson Daniels. Then you throw a big slash wing and Jalen Johnson in the mix. So they don't have a true point guard. CJ McCollum will man that, and then Kingston Flemings will back him up. So it's not a bad place to fall. Sure, they had the eighth pick, but they're not a bad team. They made the playoffs. They have the eighth pick because they traded one of their picks last year for future picks. So if we remember, the Pelicans were killed because they traded what could have been a potential top five pick for the chance to take Derek Queen. You know, the draft, even before everything played out during the season, the 2026 draft, this draft was looked at as one of the better drafts in recent memory because you had Peterson and Avanza and now Caleb Wilson and Boozer. So why would you do that, Pelicans? You're a bad team. Why would you give up the opportunity to take one of those guys? Turns out the Pelicans were a little better. They didn't get any lottery luck, so they wound up eighth. So maybe they won't be as killed because they didn't wind up in a spot where they could take one of the generational players. I think the Hawks feel pretty fortunate they were able to take a point guard like Kingston Fleming's and let him learn on a team that's going to be pretty good. So I think that's a good spot for Kingston Fleming's. He'll play, but he won't be counted on to do the bulk of the playmaking for them. And he's got a good vet ahead of him and a good vet that's on a one-year deal. So there isn't a vet that's going to be in front of him for years now. We'll see how long McCollum can play at the level he played at last year at the Hawks, but I like it. What'd you think, AJ?
Definitely. I think it's a perfect fit for Kingston to go there, too, because like you said, they made the playoffs, and they're the only team, also I'm talking about the Hawks, they're the only team to beat the Knicks two times in the postseason this past year, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's true. The Hawks were in the middle of making that entire tri-state area very sad until the Knicks found their rhythm, and then we know what type of run they went on. It's months ago now, but you think about how things could have gone with the Hawks. Now, it was a couple, I think, one-point victories. C.J. McCollum made a couple of big shots. But he went from the early star of the playoffs to a guy we don't really remember that much because of what the Knicks were able to do and what they did in that Game 6 in Atlanta. They buried them early, just blew them out. So we went from maybe a potential Game 7 thinking that, hey, there'll be a lot of pressure on the Knicks if they can't win this Game 6 in Atlanta to an absolute blowout, and they were on their way to an NBA title. So he goes there, and one of the Knicks' biggest rivals gets the other Coug drafted in the first round. Kristanak goes to Boston. And while I didn't watch the draft, I was keeping track of where Kristanak, where he was going to be drafted, if he was going to be drafted in the first round because of the decision he made. He leaves the Cougs to enter the NBA draft, and the conversations were about not only entering the draft, but even if you didn't want to be a Coug anymore, couldn't you have gotten a deal someplace else? NIL would have taken care of you. You could have continued your development. Maybe you thought you would have been more featured offensively someplace else. Whatever the conversations are about why a guy should leave early or stay, those were being had with the former Coug. And so I was hoping his decision paid off. If you go by the mocks, he was supposed to be drafted in the 20s. I don't know what he was told before the draft. Maybe he thought he was a lottery pick. Maybe he thought he could be drafted higher than late 20s. I did see a scenario where the Hawks would have drafted him too at, I think, 23. I think they have that pick too. So there were some mocks where they were going to draft both Cougs. They didn't. I think they went with another big.
Ejiofor.
Yeah. And then I saw a couple other bigs come off the board, and I got a little worried about what was going to happen. He did wind up getting drafted in the first round. So while the conversations about the financial decision that he made have come up, he will get at least a couple years of guaranteed first-round money. So as far as his finances, he'll be okay there. And then if he proves to be a good player, the Celtics will pick up the third and fourth year. So if he is the guy he's capable of being, I think he'll be fine there. But at least he does get that first-round contract. Here's Brad Stevens, his new general manager, on the selection of Kristanak.
Excellent athlete, long, you know, fits a position of need. Some things that we were a little short on this year. From an athletic perspective, I think with his size and his length, and he is, when you play in the program he's played for, he's been through, he's been taught well and been held to a high standard. And so I like that. And, he will, undoubtedly come here and be eager to jump into it. He's a good worker. He's a good person. He's got a lot to learn, but we're excited about starting that process with him.
He also talked about how even when Sanak's not playing well, you know you're going to get effort. So there's no worry about how hard he's going to play, even if things aren't going well for him on the court. The guy will play, and he'll play hard, and that's something that they liked as well. So he lands, much like Kingston Fleming's, in a winning environment. It's a different. The Celtics have been winning for a long time now. The Hawks have been a play-in team up until last year, but I think they both land in good spots. There's not a lot there for the Celtics as far as big men. Like, Kata is a guy they have to decide what to do with. I know Garza is there. There's not a real clear impediment for him playing big minutes if he earns them. Whether he earns them in year one, that's a different story, because the Celtics want to win. They are positioned to continue to compete for titles. They got their own questions internally about whether that's going to be with Jaylen Brown or not. Chris Mannix of SI is reporting that the Celtics are eyeing Evan Mobley in a Jaylen Brown trade because they missed out on Giannis. Jaylen Brown may not be thrilled about having his name out there, and the Celtics may have to decide whether they can continue on with him, or simply put, they think they have to change their style of play, and having the two wings who are so ball dominant isn't the way they want to go. So while the Giannis trade was a big move, now that that one has been completed and done with, I think we may have a kind of robust NBA offseason. We already had Julius Randle go someplace. If Jaylen Brown is next, that certainly adds to, well, at least the clicks that the insiders will get. And do the Rockets play any part in this? The news for them, and we talked about it yesterday, is that no one's off the table beyond Amen Thompson, but we're not actually shopping, but we will answer calls. Unlike the Astros, who have told people to stop calling about Christian Walker and Jeremy Pena, the Rockets are like, we'll take your calls. Unless you're calling about Amen, then you got to call somebody else. So we'll see if that comes to anything. But at least as it stands, they're listening. And I think if a trade of any real magnitude happened for the Rockets, it'd be like what happened with the Durant trade, where they didn't have to give much up. A team was, for whatever reason, desperate to get off a guy, and the Rockets think that guy could help. Now, of course, it's Kevin Durant, but to a lesser degree as far as the player impact will be this offseason, unless they do get in on Jaylen Brown, it'll be something like that, where there's a player that fits what they want. The other team, whether they have soured on that player or that player wants out, leads to the Rockets getting a bit of a discount on the player. They're not looking to be hurt by a trade. And what I mean by that is, when you trade for a superstar, generally, it's got to hurt a little bit. Whether it be draft pick compensation or player compensation, you should feel it a little bit. You're happy about the star, of course, but you should feel, oh, man, I wish we didn't have to throw in that prospect. And the example most recently was the Heat, where they wanted to give the Bucks, Davion Mitchell, a player they like, but was on the final year of his deal, and he's in his mid-20s. He has found his jumper in Miami, but that was a past lottery pick who hasn't lived up to what people thought he could be, maybe because the Kings had a hold of him early. That could play a part. No surprise that he maybe flourishes in a better organization like Miami. But the Heat were like, look, you want him? And the Bucks said, no, we want your recent first-round pick who's still got years left on his deal. The Heat didn't want to give up Kasperz Jakachonis, the former Illinois product, who was a guy that fell to them in the draft, who some people thought could be a lottery pick. That one hurt them. But if you want to make the move for Giannis, you got to give up one extra piece that you didn't want to. The Rockets aren't operating in that way. They want to clearly win the trade. So that maybe prohibits them from acquiring a star of Jaylen Brown's caliber if they were even seriously considering it. Because we heard earlier this offseason that that's a guy they were looking into. And he apparently is available. Whatever you think of Evan Mobley, the Rockets could provide the assets to top a Cavs offer if they wanted to. I don't think they want to get into a bidding war for anyone. If the Celtics are handing Jaylen Brown over, they'll take him. But I don't think they want to compete when it comes to the caliber of player that Evan Mobley is. I don't think the Rockets want to top that with players and picks. Keith, you want to talk NBA draft? We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else? The number is 713-780-3776.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Keith here. He's got an NBA draft question, and then I'll talk about why I no longer like cameras in the green room, particularly like an hour and a half into the draft process. We'll get to that. Let's get to Keith. What's up, Keith?
Hey, I'm a Houston grad. Love seeing, you know, a couple of twos go in the first round. You know, Fleming's to Atlanta, Sanak to Boston. First question is, you know, the Hawks got a steal in Aaron Wiggins. Wiggins obviously can play some point guard, and so he would be, you know, getting more playing time over Fleming's, is my guess. So I'm not sure, you know, with the Hawks, you know, having such a great year and they're improving and they're got some really nice young talent that I don't know if Fleming's going to be able to crack the rotation, but who knows, you know, but Wiggins has been good. He's the key player on the title team for OKC. And for Sanak, that's a good fit in Boston because, you know, without, you know, with Kida at center, who's not overly impressive by any means, and Vucevic on basically a free agent and a DMP, you know, maybe he can backdoor some and develop like a Mitchell Robinson with the Knicks. But also to rehash in the first hour, Oklahoma State is the college football pick. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he was so right on last year's selection that I just have to sit here and listen to it. I mean, Oklahoma State was terrible, but to Keith's credit, he did the research and said, look how many new guys they've brought in. So we'll see. Their schedule, he has them at 9 wins, which is, I think, 4 over their projection. So I can't really back him down any. He was right last year, so we'll see. And I don't care to go into Saturdays specifically rooting against a team that I don't care about. Like last year at a point, because Keith is, let's just say persistent. We'll put it that way. I had to go root against Vandy for no reason. I don't care about Vandy. I mean, let him win games. I had to root for Texas against Vandy. You think I want to root for Texas? But I was trying to win a bet that I didn't put any money on and still lost it, thanks to Vandy's really good year. So if he's right, he's right. If he's not, who cares? I'm just not going to go into Saturdays looking at what's happening in Stillwater. And if they're winning 9 games, then you know, maybe they're a dark horse playoff team. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, Sanak has a potential role, whether it be this year or next year, he's got a chance to find a spot. The Celtics' big man rotation, nothing to be impressed with. But maybe it changes if Evan Mobley rolls in there, who you would look at and go, you know, that's a guy who Sanak can model his game after, if it comes to that. So we'll see. As Jaylen Brown allegedly is someone that could be moved for Mobley if you are up on what Chris Mannix of SI is reporting. All right. So the green room in any, well, mostly the NBA and in the NFL. I'm not looking at the NHL or MLB drafts. Sorry. There's some places I won't go, and those are two. I will watch the NBA draft, the NFL draft, just like most of you. And when I was younger, I enjoyed watching the drama of the fall, of watching a guy sit in the green room and the camera zooming in and they're having conversations about where could he go? Where could he possibly land? What's the best spot for him? The most famous one, or at least one of the most famous ones of them all, is Aaron Rodgers. He sat in that green room. Now, it turned out pretty great for Aaron Rodgers, so he won. He didn't win the day, but he won overall. I did not want to see the likes of Isaiah Evans, who thought he was going to be a first rounder, and he showed up. And one of the stories about him, the Duke swingman, or wing was about the jewelry that he wore. I think a combined $4 million worth of jewelry. If you take it as he bought that jewelry, he could think to himself, you know what, I got a first-round contract coming up. It's still an exorbitant purchase because he wasn't going to be a lottery pick, so maybe hold off, but still. He's got first-round money coming. Now I don't think that jewelry was bought. I think it was offered and he wore it as maybe some promotion. I don't know if he mentioned the jewelry company by name that he wore, but I think it was like a brooch. Was it a ring, too? I forgot exactly. But it came out to be about $4 million. Do I want to watch Isaiah Evans looking his best as he slips down the draft board and he has to come back tomorrow or now today and see where he lands? No, I don't want to do that. I used to be that guy. Like, not that I would even laugh. I was just interested in all that. But I don't want to see it. I don't know because I didn't watch. Was Sanak in the draft room, green room?
Yeah, he was there.
So I didn't want to see a guy I watched all year this year or this past season help the Cougs as they tried to chase that elusive title. I don't want to see that guy sit through possibly getting pushed to day two. So it's not my thing anymore. I used to be like, I wouldn't even say I laugh. I just like to see all the drama surrounding it. Not anymore. You start to get a little older, maybe not wiser, but more empathetic and go, you know what? That's got to suck. Particularly if you're Isaiah Evans. You leave Duke thinking you're a first rounder. And depending on the spot he lands, you may be in a great spot. Excuse me as I get my words in order. Shams is reporting that the top two picks of today's draft are up for grabs. People are
Rockets.
Trying. You hope so?
Yes.
You hope they move up? For who?
Well, one would be Malik Thomas, potentially.
That's a guy I've looked at. He was at least all freshman. He might have made one of the SEC teams, but from Arkansas, I love a Calipari guard. So that's part of it playing for me in my head. Now the Reed Shepherd thing different. You can't hit on all of them, but for the most part, a Calipari guard works out from Tyrese Maxey. Say I'm even like either low lottery or not even lottery at all. Tyrese Maxey is an example. Tyler Herro outplayed his draft status. Kentucky guards, you generally go with them. You're okay, and then you know you take Ty Washington. Like I said, not everyone works out. The ones that do, they hit pretty big. Devin Booker, another one of those guys. So I would like the Rockets to potentially look at him. He is, what is it, about 6'5", 6'6", something like that. Yeah. So you add some size to the backcourt. And he had a good freshman year. You think about it. He's a guy who played with the ball-dominant guy in Darius Acuff. So he knows, while he can go get his own, he knows what it's like to play with the guy who's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. So he wouldn't be a guy who always needs to be someone on ball. Oh, but that is one of his better skill sets. Get the ball in his hands, he'll go get you a bucket. So, but he understands playing with the star. So that guy, if they're looking for shooting, Isaiah Evans, the guy we just talked about, was another one. I think he put up like 7 threes a game at Duke. And he is known as a shooter. Thin, but known as a shooter. And we heard Ime Udoka talk about the lack of shooting at his end-of-the-year presser. I don't know if he meant getting that from a 19-year-old, but shooting it's shooting. They need it. So that's not a bad shout, AJ. And with that draft pick up for grabs, 31 and 32, it's clear that the guys who fell out of the first round that people thought could go are likely going to go very early, so people are trying to maneuver. And that is part of why they moved it today to 2 days. The NFL draft has this scenario, too, where teams start to look at their board and go, what do I need to do to get up to the top of the second round so another team doesn't snake my pick? The NBA is a TV product first and foremost. This is what they would like their day two to be. Have some drama as teams are given time to figure out what they need to do to maximize this draft. So maybe the Rockets do make a move. They do have a pick. What is it? 43? I forgot. Is it 30? Is it in the low 30s or the? Or
I think the first one is 34, something like that. I got to double check.
Yeah, they may have two, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it won't cost very much if it's at 34 to move up a couple spots to get up there. Sometimes it's cash consideration. Sometimes you have to throw in future draft picks, throw in a second rounder in a future draft, or maybe use your 2 second rounders to move up in this draft. So while they didn't have a pick yesterday, there is a chance to go get a real contributor. Now, well, you may have to play this contributor. That's a different conversation. That player better play defense if that's going to work out for him. So I am interested to see if they make a move, because there are some guys who can help either now or in the future if they had first-round grades and they just happen to slip. Philip, you want to talk Rockets? Hold on. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to join? 713-780-3776.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Some free agency news. Philip, we'll get to you. The Lakers are signing Austin Reeves to a 4-year, $185 million max deal. So, he declined his player option. Bet on himself. The Lakers gave him his money. So Austin Reeves locked in. It'll be him and Luka in that backcourt. We'll see if LeBron, who allegedly will take nothing less than the max from the Lakers, does that. Or at least holds that line. And when the Lakers inevitably tell him, nah, we're good, does he go someplace? There's not a lot of places with cap space, I think. The Nets have it. The Bulls have it. There are a couple other places, but nowhere near the money that LeBron James would command if we go by what he actually provides. Like, even at 41, 42, I don't think he's a max player, but if you're looking at what James Harden has gotten the last couple of years, like a 2 for 80, 2 for 75 is something that you could reasonably pay LeBron and go, he's going to play up to that value. Maybe not defensively so much, but he's older. There's just not any team who would like to add him for a potential championship run that has that type of money. So I'm interested to see if there's a sign and trade where he gets a salary commensurate with his value, or is he going to have to sign for the MLE someplace, which would probably feel a little insulting to him, but we're just not in the world where teams have cap space to match what he thinks he's worth. I'm sure Rich Paul will try to maneuver to get LeBron involved in a sign and trade. He'll canvass the market and see if any team is willing to pay him that, and then say, hey, Lakers, we got a team. Make a deal work, because he's LeBron. But Austin Reeves locked in with the Lakers for 4 years and $185 million. Let's get to Philip. He wants to talk Rockets. What's up, Philip?
Hey, Dale, huge fan of you guys, second time caller. Thank you for the compliment last time I called. My question is, would you trade for the Rockets cheaper for maybe a Tyler Hero, or go bigger and go for Jaylen Brown?
So Tyler Hero is a buck for now, although that trade won't get completed till, I believe, July 6th. So there is room to add in. We saw the Rockets do that with Durant. That became a giant deal with six or seven teams at the end. If I'm the Rockets, he would provide shooting. I don't think he fits the profile of an Ime-like player, because he doesn't play defense. He doesn't play defense. And he is in the final year of a deal that's going to pay him like $33 million. He's looking for an extension. Are you giving up any assets to pay him an offense-only player that type of money in an Ime Udoka system? His archetype isn't one looked at with a lot of value right now. Score first or score only two guards who have some on-ball creation but don't really create for others isn't really something the NBA is looking to pay. If you look at what the playoffs were for the final four teams, you didn't see a lot of guys like that playing. Even designated shooters like Vassell get after you defensively. It's not a league currently where if you're not a top 10 player in the world, you're going to find much value in a guy who only scores the basketball. Jalen Brunson, MVP candidate. So you deal with the defensive liabilities and you build a team around him to protect him. Tyler Hero's not at the level where you build a team around him. So he just becomes a target. I don't think Ime's looking for targets defensively. Jaylen Brown, we know he coached him for that 1 year in Houston, in Boston. He's a defender. He's a big wing. He can go get you a bucket. He can stand up defensively. He is a, if you go by what he did last year, a top 10 player in basketball. If you're just going by the archetype, that's the guy that you go after. It's just going to cost far more than what Tyler Hero would require. I question whether the Rockets have the appetite to make a move like that, to go big. They got a deal done for Kevin Durant on their own terms because Kevin Durant kind of put his thumb on the scale and said Rockets only. Jaylen Brown would have to do that too, and even still, the Celtics are going to try to pull everything you got out of you to make that deal work. So you ask me, what would it take? You're talking Şengün. You're talking Jabari. The Celtics may want Reed. They may not. And then you're talking picks too. Maybe it's two first-rounders. Maybe they're asking for the best of the Suns or Brooklyn pick. Maybe a swap. They're going to extract a lot. You may think your players are good. They're going to tell you this guy was a near MVP. In fact, won an MVP in the finals and is one of the best players in basketball. You don't have a player currently like that on your roster. And the one guy who is the most attractive, you won't even make available in Amen. If you're looking to hurt, you can get in on Jaylen Brown. Do you want to give up all the things you've acquired over the last 3 or 4 years to go get a star player? That's what it would take. Kevin Durant, you got off easy. The Celtics aren't going to let you get off easy with with Jaylen Brown. I don't think they have it in them. I would be somewhat surprised if they did do it. And the Tyler Hero thing, I think the contract, even the one currently he has, is probably too rich for the Rockets' blood considering what he has to offer. And then they would have to pay him because they just gave up assets for him. So then they'd have to give him an extension. And I don't believe they want any part of giving him $35 million a year, if that's even what would satisfy him. But I appreciate it, Philip. I like the thoughts. Can this team improve, and are they willing to do what it takes to do that? I'm going to say doubtful. All right, we'll go to break. Thanks for the call, Philip. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. I'm just waiting for if there's a Shams bomb, because he's kind of the only one who breaks news now. Like Haynes and everyone else will have rumblings and rumors. Mark Stein has his Substack that he has to feed. But if you're just looking for an actual trade, it's some agent that has a deal with Shams or some executive that will tell him what happens. And maybe we get a Shams. I don't even know what's less than a bomb right now. A Shams firework, as far as the Rockets are concerned, about some deal they make. I don't think we're getting one of the big ones for the Rockets, but we'll see. This offseason has just begun. Frankly, I'd be more interested currently if they move up in the draft to go take a cost-controlled player that can help them. That would impress me. Go make a move to get one of the guys who fell out of the first round. We'll go to break. You can be next. In the second hour, the number is 713-780-3776. But I do want to remind you, our Houston, ESPN Houston watch parties continue. And today, courtesy of Huntington Bank, the guys will be out at Tom's Watch Bar. And the guy who will help all that get going just walked in to the studio, or at least the control room. That's Sean Mays back there. He'll be out there with Brian, and then Jeremy and Joe will follow him at Tom's Watch Bar from 12 to 6. Then tomorrow, Ducky McSweeney's, and on Friday, By the Wayside. Tomorrow, you'll have another chance to win a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. All you got to do is show up, sign up, and you'll have a chance to get a great prize from a great establishment. All right, we'll go to break with that. I see you, Cash. Anyone else want to follow him? You can. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.